How many of you have siblings? How many of you either have brothers and sisters around? Pretty much everybody. Okay, lots of folks. Do you always agree with your brother or your sister? Do you ever agree with your brother or sister? I have one sister I get along with pretty well. The other two sisters agree with each other most of the time and don't have a clue what I'm talking about ever. They just look at me and roll their eyes. Mary and Martha were kind of like that. And what Donna did was give you kind of Mary's view of this whole affair with Lazarus. And I wanted to read a part of it, and then I'm going to focus on Martha a little bit. But I wanted to read just a few sections of this whole story, which runs 45 verses. I'm going to begin at the beginning of chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. This is another story, not the one Donna was talking about, but another one. And actually, it's kind of interesting. In John's Gospel, it's in chapter 12. We haven't got to it yet. It's kind of like a preview on a TV show. That's coming. But you notice that it was the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, by verse 3, though, the author's trying to hint at something. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, and Donna talked about that a bit. And Jesus hears it and gets the thing, tells the disciples, says, Lazarus is sick. And they hang around. They don't go anywhere. They're over in the country of Jordan, probably, from what we can tell in the scripture in the previous chapter. And after a while, over there, having received this message, he tells the disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep. That's one of the euphemisms we use for Lazarus has died. The disciples probably know that, but did you ever get one of those messages where you really don't want to believe what it says? And so you pick any meaning you can out of what you've been told that it goes down a little easier. And so a couple of the disciples say that why are we concerned if he's sleeping? And Jesus says, maybe we ought to be clearer with this crowd. And so he says, Lazarus is dead. And then they wait a couple more days. And they finally head towards Bethany. Now there's, in the scheme of things, and you can read it in this account, you can read kind of the purpose behind that. There was a belief in that day that when a person died, the spirit of that person stayed with them for about 3 days. And after 3 days, the spirit left, and after that, you were really dead. And so it would appear that Jesus deliberately waited long enough for the spirit to have left Lazarus so that everybody there would have known that Lazarus was really, really, really dead. There was no question. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days when Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up, as frequently happened when he and the disciples would have been with him and some others probably, so there's this crowd coming down the street walking. Folks knew who he was. Matter of fact, the leadership in Jerusalem was looking for him because they wanted to kill him. This is it's about this time of year relative to Easter, relative to Palm Sunday. It's the week before Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem. People know he's coming. Mary and Martha had probably had friends out looking for him anyway. They'd have expected him a while back. And here he is coming now. And so they send word back. Now, this is where you have to put yourself in the position of being a brother or a sister. You heard your sister Mary say what happened. And Mary did a good job of telling us what happened. But let's hear what Martha's take on it is as well. It's very similar. Most of the details even were correct. The big picture was certainly correct. But Martha has a little different view on it. Listen to this. This is starting in verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We heard that. The kids even knew. That's what you're going to say to this guy. They knew that. Obvious. But Martha continues. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And this was one of the very dominant, very prominent views of resurrection that the people in Jesus' time had. There were a few, the Sadducees, who didn't believe in resurrection. But for the most part, the Jews had begun to believe in a resurrection. And that it would happen in the last day, in this kind of culminating effort of God and God's creation all becoming one again. And so that's why Martha answers. She'd been listening, even if she was working out in the kitchen. She'd been hearing things. She knew what Jesus had said. And Jesus replies to her. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, Lord. Now I want you to listen to this part of what Martha says very closely. I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into this world. Let me say that again. This is Martha's response. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into this world. And when she had said that, she went back and got Martha, or Mary. And Mary comes out. And listen to what Mary says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Sound familiar? These two are sisters. They think the same. They got a exact same words. You look in the Greek, it's exactly the same words both times. Now, I can imagine at this point, Jesus having had the conversation he's had with Martha, I can imagine him pausing for just a second, waiting. Mary doesn't say anything else. It's the end. And while there's been many questions about why it is that Jesus weeps, many of which are very valid, the normal human response to one coming out weeping at this kind of a time of a death of a loved one and one that Jesus loves as well is going to prompt us to weep in sympathy, to allow that emotion out. And I think that that's certainly a great part of it. But I think as well, Jesus is weeping for what Mary did not say. In the same way that Jesus weeps a little later in this experience, a few days later over Jerusalem, because of what Jesus is not. Martha has taken an experience of great grief, of great tragedy. And Martha has converted it into an opportunity to express hope in a risen Christ and in the resurrection that God can bring. And Martha has expressed that. And I'm sure she has shared it with those that are around that have come to grieve with her and her sister. Mary, for whatever reason at this point, is caught up in her grief. if you just come earlier. We all express and live our faith in Jesus Christ in different ways. At this point, Mary is expressing her faith in what Jesus could have done, in what God could have happened. Martha is expressing her faith that God indeed will continue to act in their lives. There's a difference between saying, Lord, if only you had been here, and Lord, if only you had been here, I believe that you were the Christ, the one who brings resurrection, who is resurrection, as Jesus verified to her. Think about those things in our lives, whether there are things that are triggered by grief or whether there are things that are triggered by other challenges in our lives. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a financial challenge. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's the relationship between us brothers and sisters. Maybe it's the challenge of those faithful folks that we know that don't believe like we do. Whatever it is, how do we respond? Lord, if only you had been here, if you were the one preaching this morning, we'd get the message. Lord, I believe you were the Christ, the resurrected one, the one who makes life out of death, who brings an end to the violence, the evil, the sin that is all around us. I believe you do that. Interesting in the passage, it doesn't talk about Martha weeping. I'm sure she had. I'm sure that the grief of her brother dying was something that she felt deeply. But it wasn't the end. She knew it wasn't. Now, I suspect Mary did too. And I don't want to pick on Mary a whole lot this morning. But I do think we have to see that faithful response that Martha has. Because frequently, the voice that we hear from this family is Mary's voice. Mary and her sister were two people. And there are two messages of faith. We can sit at the feet of Jesus and we can absorb what he says and his teaching and his being. Or as may be implied in the scriptures, we can be the one responsible for the whole household. And maybe Martha was. It would appear as we would kind of read into the scripture that that was the case. It doesn't seem to be Lazarus. He doesn't seem to be an active character. He's a character, but he's not an active one. It would have been terribly unusual in that day if it was Lazarus's house for them to have explained it to us as being Mary's or Martha's house. Chances are it was Martha's. And chances are her mother had explained to her about hospitality. And when people come, no matter who you are, you do what you need to do to put a meal on the table, to invite people in, to wash their feet. Mary had learned the same lesson, and they picked different ways of expressing that hospitality to Jesus over time. And they related to him just that little bit differently. There's room in each of our lives to be Mary, to be Martha, to respond to the Christ whatever way really works for us, but to respond with hope. Martha and Mary, two of the siblings in the family, and then there's Lazarus, the one who's raised. And we might say, well, he didn't have a big part in the story. He got sick. That didn't take any strong doing on his part. He died. Not a lot to say for that. Then the family took over and buried him. Okay. But when Jesus calls from the tomb, he walks out. Now, how many of you seen some of those mummy movies? You know, where the mummies kind of get up and start to walk around and they're all wrapped up and they have to walk funny because that's the picture I have. I'm not sure it's the right one, but it's the picture I have of Lazarus just kind of coming out and not being able to walk very well because these cloths are wrapped around him. He said, well, okay, he finally has got an action part. But the action comes after this story for Lazarus. Because it says in the following verses, it says, the leadership of the Jews were as afraid of Lazarus as they were Jesus, because people were beginning to believe Jesus because Lazarus was walking around saying who it was that had raised him. It would appear that the temple authorities were not concerned about that from a theological standpoint. It was a political standpoint. They were afraid that if Lazarus and Jesus and this whole movement around Jesus got too much power, that the Romans would get nervous. And the threat was that if the Romans got too nervous, they would destroy the temple and wipe out the practice of the faith of the Jewish people. And indeed, in 70 AD, 30 or 40 years later, the temple was destroyed by the Romans because they got nervous. It was a real threat. But Lazarus kept testifying to why it is that he was alive. Mary, who listens to Jesus, who offers the hospitality to Jesus of washing his feet. Martha, who serves Jesus and his friends when they come, and who makes this wonderful, one of the best affirmations of who Jesus is. And Lazarus, who continues to bear testimony just by being around. Lazarus could have gone and hidden. He could have headed for Jordan. He could have done a lot of things. But he stayed where he was and he bore testimony to why he was there. Bits and pieces of each of these people are part of us. Bits and pieces of how they respond to the presence of God is a part of us. Listen to all three stories. Know that the love of God indeed embraces all of us. And the love of God gives all of us the opportunity to respond to that love as best we can in the ways we can. Go from this place and share the love of God with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors, with anybody that'll listen. And if they don't listen when you say it once, find a different way to say it again. If they don't respond to how you've presented it, present it differently. Give them as well the opportunity to know the Christ. Amen.